Good evening, everyone. Welcome here tonight. I'm Pat Williamson, and on behalf of Land & Progress Association, welcome you all here this evening to our candidates forum. If I could ask all the candidates to take seats in the front row, that would work out. The front row down there. As we go along, we will go through the mayoral candidates, then Eyre, Murray and Shearer wards, and the candidates for each of those areas will come up and be able to do their presentation at that stage. There's some rules for tonight to be followed. All those attending are to have signed in on the register booklet at the entrance. Could you please ensure that you've done that? All mobile phones are to be turned off or be switched to silent. In the event of an emergency, all the doors become emergency exits and can be used to vacate the building. It's just necessary to push down on the bar to release the doors. There's to that end, and we can go out through the front. No abuse, swearing or personal attacks on candidates will be tolerated. Any person adopting such behaviour will be removed from the stadium. The meeting will be recorded. Time limits apply and will be adhered to. Each candidate has 10 minutes to speak. A bell will ring at the 9-minute mark and the presentation will be ended at 10 minutes. Question time will be limited. If time restraints prevent any of the audience from having their questions answered, we ask that you submit your question in writing. Pads and pens are available, and if you can, put your email address and we'll ensure that all responses are sent out. The format will be the mayoral candidates first, I think I've repeated this, followed by Eyre, Murray and Shearer wards. Oh, and we can now proceed with the forum if everyone's ready. The candidates for mayor are Simone Bailey, Kevin Myers and Dave Burgess. I would now like to welcome mayoral candidate Simone Bailey to do her presentation. Thank you, Simone.
Good evening. Thank you for taking the time to find out more about the candidates hoping to represent you next term of council. I'm Simone. I'm semi-retired, a councillor for Shearer ward for the last 4 years and current deputy mayor. I believe in service above self. I lead by example and I have a strong financial and leadership background, an accounting degree and 20 years experience in local and state government. I love to volunteer to help people and to make a difference. I'm knowledgeable, solution focused, experienced, professional, motivated, fair, honest, ethical and passionate about the environment, our community and all individuals within the community. I'd like to share a little about my council journey. 4 and a bit years ago, I was in my 3rd year as council's accountant. I didn't like seeing public money being spent like it was, and I decided to take a big risk. I resigned from my well-paying council position to nominate as a councillor. Council allowance at that time was just under $14,000 per year. It was a massive pay cut, but I really wanted to give back to community and try to stop the planned massive rate increases by stopping wasteful spending. I was lucky enough at that time to pick up a new admin job at Aminia within weeks of my resignation. In the interview, I told the CEO of my council plans. I said I was only looking for a few days a week and I wanted to put all of my effort into council if elected. He still hired me. I was elected a few months later and loved my new balance. Within 6 months, the business manager at Aminia had retired, so I stepped up into that position. Not quite 6 months after that, the CEO decided it was time for him to retire, and suddenly I found myself still working part-time, but now jointly running the organisation as an executive officer. Then came COVID, new rules, steep learning curve, many, many challenges. I'm proud to say that I learnt a lot about aged care over my 3.5 years at Aminia. I turned around the finances from a $237,000 deficit to only a $60,000 deficit in my first full year as executive officer. I did this by making small changes, things like calling suppliers to get better deals, doing laundry and house instead of contracting, which created another local job. I did not cut back any labour hours, I actually added new shifts. Small things create ripples and they can change an organisation immensely. That's why, if I'm elected, I will give back the mayoral car and phone to start making small savings. Last year I decided that my balance was out and I didn't have the time for my family that I wanted, and I wanted to focus more on my council role. So I let the Aminia board know that I wanted to resign. It was a very hard decision, but it was the right one. Since finally semi-retiring in February, I've had more time for my family and community, and I hope to continue this balance. I've still been visiting Aminia and volunteered to help with the fundraising for Joint Police since I left. The Aminia board have recently appointed me as an additional board member following due consideration of the accounting skills and the aged care knowledge that I possess, which will provide extra skills and experience to the board. So I'm still there a little bit. A little piece of my heart now belongs to Aminia. It's a great community not-for-profit asset with great people working, volunteering and living there. I'm hoping the leadership skills that I possess and helped and continue to help Aminia will be able to help council. I also completed a community leadership program this year, and I'm always looking to further my knowledge and experience. I also believe the council chamber needs an effective leader who will provide leadership and guidance, who will promote positive, constructive working relationships and support the elected members and the CEO. I can provide that leadership. Part of the role of the mayor is to provide that leadership and guidance to council, to lead and promote the positive and constructive working relationships amongst council members, provide guidance to council members on the performance of their roles, including the exercise and performance of their official functions and duties, support council members' understanding of the separation of responsibilities between elected representatives and council employees. Relationship building will be extremely important next term, with the majority of elected members being new to council. I'd like to give those members the knowledge that they need to make our council more sustainable and to make it an even better place to live. I have proven ability to support an effective team culture and build respectful working relationships with the CEO, which are both invaluable to this role. If elected as your mayor, I will meet with elected members regularly. I'll not distance myself from them. I'll provide them the support they need. I won't influence their decision making. I will work with the CEO and provide the elected members with any information, time and mentoring they need to assist them in their duties. During council meetings, I will preside in line with the agenda and allow respectful, robust debate. I will expect professional behaviour at all times and I will not allow bullying. With our council debt to hit an all-time high of over $18 million and rates proposed to increase 60% in the next 10 years, and that's not factoring in large CPI increases, only minor ones, I believe we need to look at savings and growth. Council's long-term financial plan shows that we'll be operating in deficit until 2027-2028. And in 10 years' time, loans will still be around $17 million. I really believe we need leadership with financial qualifications, experience and expertise. In a briefing session in April this year, the Director of Finance discussed council loans. He stated Mid-Borough Council has been capped by the local government finance authority. The last three loans we have fixed, he actually had to reduce the cash advance debenture so it would get approved. Otherwise, he would have had to front up to the local government's finance board, and there would have been conditions handed down to our council to get an extension. He said in mid-August 2024, we won't have enough finance. I will have to go to the local government's finance authority, cap in hand, and ask for additional funds. They told him straight out, the CEO of the local government finance authority, that they will be looking at councils that have been running at a deficit. That is us. The next round of loans will probably have conditions on them. The finance director stated mid-August we hit our peak debt each year. In 2024, he's going to run out of finance. For me, this is a major concern. With the cost of living rising currently, what happens if more ratepayers can't pay their council rates and we haven't accounted for that? What happens if a community club leads a community loan that we haven't accounted for? Or what happens if a road fails that needs major maintenance earlier than we've expected that? We won't have the money. The size of our council certainly presents some challenges. We have around 10,500 rateable properties and a population of only around 9,000. We have a span of 6,200 square kilometres, over 3,000 kilometres of roads and 220 kilometres of the River Murray. To put that in perspective, we have less than 2 ratepayers every square kilometre, or 3.5 ratepayers for every kilometre of road, and 88.5% of those roads are unsealed. We have less than 50 ratepayers for every kilometre of river we have. I want to advocate for our community, for our ratepayers, for more funding, for change, for whatever it takes to get equity for our whole community. I won't accept we've done it that way for the last 20 years or since amalgamation. If elected, I'll continue to ask the hard questions. I'll have the hard conversations and I'll keep fighting for financial sustainability for Mid-Murray so our community can have the things we need and want, but at not ongoing excessive expense to ratepayers. I understand the value of tourism to our towns and I support sustainable tourism. I support the heritage tourism assets that we own. I was on the Section 41 committee until it was amalgamated and never ever did I not support anything on that committee. I'm really excited about our new tourism manager as tourism finances are looking much more sustainable than they were 4 years ago when I started. I would like to hear from every community in our council area, so if elected, I'll be holding monthly listening posts in different towns to hear what the community want from their council, and I will invite ward councillors to the listening posts also. A lot of work has been done by the senior management team and the new CEO over the last 2 years, in many areas resulting in many efficiencies. I'm really excited for the next term of council. There will be many new faces and new ideas and hopefully some policies that haven't been updated can be looked at and then council can be, we also might be able to work with neighbouring councils for more innovative ideas and strategies to create long-term financial sustainability. In closing, as your elected mayor, I'll put community needs first whilst maintaining long-term financial sustainability for council and ratepayers. I'll provide strong leadership. I don't pretend to know it all. I'll listen, I'll ask questions, and I'll strive to be solution-focused for the betterment of our whole community. I'm excited for the future of Mid-Murray. It's time for change. Thank you.
Thank you, Simone. Now, if I...
Thanks, Simone. Now I'd like to ask Kevin Myers to come forward and do his presentation. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I think Simone's just about said it all, haven't you? very good, Simone. Well done. For those who don't know me, my name's Kevin Myers. I live in Cadell. And I've been a ward councillor of Mid-Murray Council for 16 years. The only one that's been there longer than me is the current serving mayor. Out of those 16 years, I was deputy mayor for 6 years. About me a little bit, I have a degree in horticulture, specialising in citrus and stone fruit. And up until 10 years ago, run a very successful irrigated orchard in Cadell. And then I had a massive stroke, which finished me off pretty well. But I still went on and did a bit of study, Cert 3 and 4 in frontline management. I'm a JP and a SAPOL volunteer. I've chaired the Murray Mallee ZEMC for 7 years and been on the River Murray Advisory Board for 4 years. Bottom line, why I'm standing at the moment is I do believe all Mid-Murray Council's communities at this point are suffering big time. And, you know, I can start out with our road network is horrible. I've had 4 calls today from people asking why am I paying rates and I can't drive on my roads. And seriously, after 16 years, I do not have the answer. The only thing I can pinpoint is our road network has gone downhill since we went to a 5-year plan. And it seems like 5 years become 6 years, become 7 years, and these roads are getting worse and worse and worse. There's a lot of, also see a lot of money being wasted in the tendering process. I know we have to abide by certain rules, but has anybody in the room seen the new Truro toilets? No, obviously not. Anyway, $330,000. Because we went through the tendering process and that's what it came out at. And I spoke to a builder in Nuriupta and he said he could have built a 3-bedroom home with a toilet in every room for less money. So I sort of got wondering, are we the only ones or not? So I spoke to the mayor of Loxton Wakeree and then another one at Barry Barmer and the Renmark mayor, and they're all in the same boat. The tendering process, it's like, you know, write your own check for a job. And like that, they say no, like, we might ask our infrastructure person, oh, what goes on with a tendering on such and such a road? They said, oh no, we have to re-put it out to tender because nobody applied. And then finally they get one and it's really a high price. So I think that's a major thing that has to be addressed in the new council. If you go next door into the council office, you'll probably see a nice array of prizes, certificates and everything through all the good programs that Mid-Murray Council's won. You know, whether it be Fun for Youth, the Good Eating Program, the Opal one, and the list goes on. But we've failed big time with our elderly and disabled. I think there needs to be something done. We actually used to have a disability committee, but somewhere it disappeared. And the only reason I can say that for sure is because I used to be the chair of it. And then it got, in the last couple of years, it got amalgamated with Open Space. But as chair of that committee, there's very rarely anything on there. And as I said, we're failing our disabled and our elderly is where most of the complaints come from because they can't drive their GoPro on a footpath because of potholes. Very similar to the ones we put up with our cars on the roads. I would like to see whoever, whether it's Dave or Simone or myself, get elected, need to work with the new elected members and do something for our disabled. I wasn't even aware till about 3 weeks ago, there's a young lad in Canberra who's got cerebral palsy and he's got a sort of a cross between a wheelchair and a pram. The only thing he wants to do is go to the playground, but he can't get there. All we need to do is, you know, probably cost a couple hundred bucks. Like if we did it, the people in this room did it, but a pram ramp so he can get there. I mean, but why are these people going without while, you know, there is big wastage of money in other areas? And then, if I was to get elected mayor, I'd like to work with all the elected members to repair the relationship between the ratepayers and the council. There seems to be a big wall up there somewhere that blocks the talking and, you know, the whole relationship between the ratepayers and the council. That wall has to come down. Because when you boil it down at the end of the day, without the ratepayers, there's no money. And if there's no money, there's no council. Mm-hmm. And that's about me, Seth. Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin. And now I'd like to call on Dave Burgess to come and make his presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. Good to be here. Welcome, everybody. Thanks for giving up your evening. Obviously, I'm Dave Burgess. I've been there for the last 12 years and around for nearly 20, so probably coming to the youth by date, but I still think I've got energy and enthusiasm and a passion for Mid-Murray. Bit of background. I was self-employed, or Lynn and I, who's sitting there self-employed, started the Walker Flat store from a store that had been closed for 4 years, reopened it, got the fuel licence back, got the liquor licence, expanded the footprint by about fourfold, And in the middle of all that, interest rates were 21%. So learnt how to manage money and survive and build a business at the time of massive interest rates. Those skills have come in handy when talking to CEOs or finance people. They pay good money to look after our business and run our business. That's why we have a 10-year financial plan. And as long as we're aiming for our goals at that 10 years, that's where we aim to get. My time out there was 10 years as a progress chair and involved in the community strongly out there. Our focus was to do community-driven projects that would improve our community for everybody, the visitors, and being a shack area, we wanted to make it better for them. One of the stories is you get, not in my backyard situation, a shack owner come up, I don't want more people coming here and this and that. We did the reserve up, looked very neat and tidy. He was very happy after about 5 years because the riffraff that used to just come along and steal the firewood out of his backyard were no longer coming, and we improved the quality of people. The chairman of the day, who was council when we started on the project in Ridley Truro, he wasn't all that keen on it because he had a shack across the road, but about 25 years later his kids got married on the reserve out the front, so we took that as a tick in the box of our success. And out of all that journey, yes, I'm retired. We've worked hard enough. We'll be self-funded retirees with the assets to support ourselves. So I think that's a big plus, not having to lean on governments and the personal bonuses, not have to do with Centrelink. I think I have a proven record with Mid-Murray in my time. We've grown and come. Yes, we have debts. The debts come through buying assets for everybody's benefit. My early days, we had a lot of work to do on the Truro-Yudunda Road. I had a group of councillors that were a bit concerned about that. So they would spend $100,000 a year patching up that road to keep it safe. Finally got to a point where I had a group of people that were a bit more business-minded. Yes, we took on a massive debt, which is a part of why we have so much debt now. That road is in good condition, will be a good road for probably the next 50 years. And we did it at a time of low interest rates and got value for money by grant funding. We had our finance guy do an exercise on our finances, and the question to him was, could you please tell us in the last 5 years what sort of discount we might have got on all our capital expenditure? I think the number that came back was 43%. So I think that's good value of ratepayers' money and good planning for the future and making a road network for our heavy transport and our tourists and our people to get through safely. So there is good debt, there's good, and there's bad debt, and I think most of our debt has been good debt to buy good assets for our community. If I use borrowings to build assets at the moment, it means we get to use them and we get to pay off the debt. If I save all your money until we can afford the assets, I'll be doing it for my grandchildren, and I think I want to share in the things we build as we grow. And, you know, just an example, in my time, the main street of Madam here, we started the Caravan Park and I think ended at Monument Corner. Over my time now, just about every shop is full. Bagshaw's is humming again. OTR come in and invested $3.2 million on that corner. People like them don't invest lightly. And the supermarket changed hands for about $8.3 million recently down that land. People don't make investments like that lightly. They see a future in Manham and Mid-Murray. So I think we've done a few things right, and I believe our main street just about ends up where Neil Warhorse was working as a mechanic many years ago in a nice quiet spot at the top of the street. It's not so quiet anymore. So I think our town has been successful over the time. I've attended lots of conferences, done a lot of networking, and been able to get some help, and been able to pull off some road swaps and things like that that have been to the benefit of Mid-Murray. But my passion is still community and volunteers. Love the people I work with and have worked with. And the volunteers are the one who creates our communities, our events and the excitement of our town. So whether I'm here or not, thank you all for the opportunity. It's been a great time, and hopefully I'm here to represent you again. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. Now, if Simone, Dave and Kevin would just like to come forward, we can then ask questions from the floor. And if people have have a question for all or any of these people, would you please identify it now?
Thank you. My name's Adrian Davis. I'm a ratepayer. I live in River Lane at Manham, and I'm, although retired, I've worked for Raymond Horne Real Estate for 25 years. My question concerns the council. Simone, you said that our rates will increase by 60%, and I did see an article in the Manham Mag where you said that it'd be compounding. Where my rates now are $4,500. This financial year, if I, as I did the other day, calculate that out with 6% increases over the next 10 years, I'm going to pay out 57,000 in council rates, let alone what the rest of River Lane and then the other individuals in the town and the district pay. But if you say 60%, can you explain how you determine and what that would come back as on, say, $4,500?
Okay, so let's go $1,000 because it's easy for everyone to think of. So 60% over the 10 years. So $1,000 now will become $1,600 in 10 years. But that's only factoring, I think it's 2.5% CPI, whereas this year we're probably looking at 7.5%. So then we have to add all those extra increases, and let's hope that CPI stops going up anytime soon, because otherwise, yeah, that will go up even higher. Is that what you wanted?
Partly, can I finish off?
Yeah, go.
Sorry if I
can't record. You've only got the one microphone.
That's right. The other thing, when I talk about increases, the council have put our rates up on occasion over the last few years, in particular, anywhere between 4 and 6% each year, so we see those increases happen. And at the same time, the capital valuation on your properties, my property and yours, goes up, and therefore the cents in the dollar they put it up also increase the amount we pay. And then we have recycling, which will naturally increase each year as well. And then we also have our water and sewer and natural resources or the rate there. So those things, you know, come up each year, and that 57,000 over the next 10 years is probably going to be more into the 60,000 mark. I and some of you, and we all pay different levels of rates, but the basic rate will increase by those amounts. So if you look at your rates today and calculate it out in 10 years' time, we're going to be paying a lot. And I think from what I hear from other people that own properties here, but also in Adelaide, it's cheaper to council rates to live in Adelaide than what is here. Our rates are one of the highest in the states. So that's my concern, because also, as council has work to do, they work out what they want to do and how much they want to charge us rates to help get there. So, therefore, what we need is good counselling, good management of our accounts, and to reduce our debt, because it's $17 million and not really decreasing over the next 10 years. It's time for change, in my opinion, and for someone to lead us out of debt or to maintain that debt in that way. So the other thing is really for council to say how we're going to manage that as well.
Sorry, so are you asking anyone else to respond immediately?
If they like.
No. We're going to run out of time, I'm afraid, Adrian. Thank you. Does anyone else have a question?
Yes. No, I don't need that.
Right.
I'm Terry Hewden from 47 Penong Road. I'd like to ask Simone, if 3.5 people share a kilometre, could I have the one in front of the two bakeries, please?
Done.
This is Kevin, we're all three of you guys.
Yeah.
And I'm as horrified as you are, Kevin, about the price of $330,000.
Yeah.
How would you cut the tendering process from like it always staggers me who actually rubber stamps that as being a viable. I mean, how anybody could stamp $330,000 for a toilet just beyond me. So how do you look at reducing those costs? Because it just horrifies me, the wastage. You know,
talking with, as I said, mayors from other councils, they're all in the same boat because I know, like, we receive grants through the federal government, which I hear now are all going to be cut with Labor, but you get those grants, then we've got to match them, and then there is strict guidelines through the government when you go out to tender. Like you just can't say, oh, you know, whoever's department it is, he can't say he's got a brother-in-law or a mate. It's all going to be done above board.
Sure, but how are you going to reduce those costs?
Well, the first thing I would do is get all the other parties, as I said, the other mayors, councils together, probably through the Murray-Mallee LGA, and go to the state government and put it on the table. This is what's going on, why, and how can it be fixed? There's got to be an answer to it. If something's only worth 10 bucks, it's ludicrous to charge 34.
Oh, I agree with you.
Yeah, so really, I mean, people have got to come clear and be honest to what's going on. Another example was the Morgan boat ramp. We had a company come in there and do that. Okay, it failed. It was, excuse the expression, but it was a shit job. So we called them back. They had to do it at a cost of $79,000 extra. So that all gets done. Lo and behold, when we received funds to do the Morgan Wharf, the only one that applied to do the wharf, upgrade it, was the same company that did the boat ramp, and they put the price so high, and they were the only tender, and they got the job.
But that doesn't solve the issue, though.
No.
I understand
what at a council meeting about a year ago, I troll Facebook and look at all other councils, and Corunda Council did a fabulous job of a pull-in toilet box for $60,000. And I said to our staff, like, can we start talking to other councils? Like Kevin said, you know, find those ones that are in the similar position to us, because they're the ones finding these great ideas, and that's why I would like to work with other councils, especially ones near us, you know, especially if we've got these bordering communities, so that we can get a good deal for all of our ratepayers.
Just finally on that, years ago when we did the Cadell Riverfront, it was done by the community. Okay, it's owned, it's Crown land under care and control of council, but the community raised the money and we wanted to put a toilet there. Council wanted to do the tendering process and all that, but as a community incorporated body, the community went out and bought their own toilet, one of those round ones with the hand basin and all that in it, for $13,000 and put it there. And council were going to do the same job and it was going to be $70,000.
You see, what staggers me is why can't a council go and buy that $13,000 toilet?
I don't know. That's what I want the answer to.
There is a tendering process that we have to go through. There's a lack of people out there putting in for these tenders, and for some reason, whether it be state government or local government, we seem to attract a premium by contractors. It's just something, not that we want, but unavoidable. I think you'll find the toilet block that we're doing at Swan Reeks is a lot cheaper than the one at Truro. And the one at Truro, because it's a town with lots of people going through it and a lot of people using it, is larger than normal. I think all of them, the three or four, I think there's four cubicles and they're all disabled. It was there the other day and actually disabled and labelled that the arm is on the left, on this one the arm's on the right. So that's the technicalities that we get into once you want to get local government say we want a public toilet. Disability things come in, as Kevin mentioned before, so there's all those rules you've got to comply with, and then a whole lot of other bits and pieces, and probably part of that project was tapping into the sewer system of Truro as well. So I'm not supporting the price, but it's hard to do. There's an LGA procurement body. I'm not sure that we use that enough as a body, as a local government body, the facilities there for us to use. We should be running just about all our projects through them, even if we do our independent and their independent.
I think we've got a few more questions. We'll need to quickly get through. There's a lady here. Yes.
Could you pass on the mic back to you?
I'm Lynn Gross. We live in Patterson Estate. I spent years working as a social worker in aged care and volunteering, both in the United States and here. In the US, no, let me back up a bit. A week ago, I sent a letter to each of the three candidates asking them what specifically they would do promptly to solve the problem of elderly and disabled people getting into the Lester Howie Clinic. That is a very steep ramp. I have listened to staff and other clients talk about near incidents, and I just find it incredible that there's this wonderful path from the helicopter ramp that is used only to sit down. That is used much less frequently than the Lester Howie Clinic. In my work in the US, I was directly responsible to the courts for negligence and abuse and a few other things at the elderly. And I think there would have been a very good case made that that ramp not being fixed, that disability entrance not being fixed for at least 15 years since submissions have been made to the council, would have constituted criminal negligence. And I think it would be not so very hard for a new mayor to take the role of leadership, to coordinate, and I don't know all the details, I've tried to check things out, but I just get the brush off from all levels of government, to very quickly put up signs, one at the entrance to the medical centre and one on Esmeralda Street, so that people coming know where to go in order to get safe entry and exit to Lester Howie. So, each of you, are you willing to take that on as a matter of priority? And will you put a report in the MAC very soon saying what your plans are? I've heard, and Simone got in touch with me very quickly after receiving that letter, and she told me that there are various investigations going on about where the medical centre will be going in the future and so on and so forth. But just being an ordinary little old woman in Manham, I would say this needs fixing now.
Can I make a comment?
I must admit, coming from the other end of the council, I'm not familiar with your medical centre, but I did go there this evening and have a look, and I think the first issue I'd like to sort out is who owns what part of the land, what is council's footpath, where does the
boundary... who owns what.
No.
It needs attention now.
I totally understand, but who owns what piece of land is going to be the first question that the council staff are going to ask me.
Well, there'd be lots of questions and lots of information from that on.
Thanks for that question, Lynn. It's a difficult situation. The ownership of land does matter, because you wouldn't like me coming onto your property doing what I want to do, so I can't walk onto state government's health grounds and do what I want to do without working in partnership with them. Mm-hmm. And that becomes a long conversation. And then you've got to get money out of the state government to keep to their share of it. What I do believe is that the medical practice is about to investigate and pretty forward in their planning is to build a whole new facility in Mount, which is another plus for Mount.
No, they don't. Nor does the medical centre. You have to wait down the bottom for a car park up the top, and no one comes up saying you're late for your appointment.
Or there is no car park there.
Yeah, because you've got to wait for my taxi. And even if you double car come in, you're not supposed to.
I've done this over the week that as you went through reception, and then I know that you're disabled.
I'm sorry, but we really are going to have to leave that issue now and move forward.
Simone, please give a response.
I'll give a quick one.
All right, but we're going to have to then ask for other questions to be put in writing because we have to get to the candidates as well.
Yeah, just a quick response. I was actually just put on the Hospital Advisory Committee recently through my council role. And we are looking at it. There is a survey being undertaken, and we are waiting on the medical centre to get back to us to say what's going to happen, when they're going to build. And I have just nominated to continue to stay on that committee as an independent member because I believe we really need to do some good work down at the hospital because I had very similar issues just recently when my dad was in a wheelchair and trying to push him up that hill. I wasn't even going to try that. Thank you.
Thank you all. I'm afraid we will have to move to the rest of the candidates, and thank you to the three mayoral candidates. We'll now introduce the candidates for Eyre Ward. We have apologies from Jen Davis and Wayne Tredray. We have Jacob Gamatzelder and John Forrester with us this evening, and I'd like Jacob to come and speak first.
John, apologies, we've got some flooding issues.
Oh, I beg your pardon. John is also an apology now because he apparently is flooded. So Jacob's got the floor.
Okay. I'm the sole representative.
Right. Yeah, so I'm up from Eyre Ward.
Yes.
Right. My name is Jacob Gamatzelder. I've moved into the Riverlands area
2012.
Can everyone? All right. Anyway, so 2012, moved to Morgan and probably got involved in the town. I like the area and I thought, well, I'm going to behave like I live here. So I've joined groups like the Meals on Wheels and still do that every week. I've lost my train of thought. Sorry about this, guys. So part of what I did was get involved in Meals on Wheels. I've also been involved in Red Cross. I drove from 2019 to 2022, 50,000 kilometres, all for free. I do a lot of stuff for people. And it's unofficial, some of it. It's not a job, although I am working with Mid-Murray Support Services as a contractor to try and establish some sort of transport system for people up in the Eyre Ward. That's moderately successful. One trip today to Berry and back from Morgan to take someone to X-rays. I started a group called Morgan Volunteer Support Group 4 years ago. That was to support Meals on Wheels and the Morgan Activity Centre for meals there. We raised $25,000 in those 4 years, bought a replacement car, and currently have 10,000 sitting around so we can help ourselves keep going. I want, as a councillor, to come at the problems from a different angle, because when I joined groups like Lawn Bowls, Morgan Lawn Bowls group, what the problems were struggling to get members, those sorts of things. They almost went under.
They were one meeting away from just shutting shop. They were $10,000 in debt, and just the people running it had given up hope. And I said, well, let's not do that just yet. So we're still running and doing quite well. But you do get those problems, and they're fundamentally due to a lack of people. So your businesses struggle because of lack of people. Your groups struggle because of lack of people. And one of the things you see that in is an air ward when in November we lose another councillor. In 2013 we lost two councillors from Ms Murray Council. You lose councillors from losing electors, people who are enrolled to vote. So what happens? So that's a significant indicator that your population's withering away. It means that you're more liable to be amalgamated. Those sorts of issues come up. And that's the core of all those little problems further downstream, where a club is struggling to get new members, the CFS is struggling to get new members. I think in Morgan they're down six. Lions Club goes up and down to six to eight. Our golf club's doing really well. I'm the barman there. I've been asked to be president. I will probably take that up. There is success. There's a roadhouse in Morgan. Different owners a few years ago, selling exactly the same products. Totally different story with the new owners, doing a vastly better job. Heaps more profit, heaps more success. It's that invisible infrastructure that can change the whole dynamic of the place. And what I want to do is start looking at council strategies on improving the number of ratepayers who are stayers, people who come and buy a block of land and live on it in your ward. That means you get a ratepayer who's paying rates. So rather than get every ratepayer to pay more, get more ratepayers to share the load. If you can do it a particular way, I think it would be council managed land, not crown land, council managed land, and then convert that from community use to residential, that sort of thing. Then you might be able to open up some land for development in Morgan. 20 blocks, something like that. The last time that happened in Morgan was about 1983. So there are, that street called Federal Street. There were two options, Ruby and Sapphire. They were meant to be developed too. Never. If you don't give people a chance to live in your town, you're not going to grow. You're going to struggle to get people at CFS. Your business is going to struggle. Your sports teams are going to struggle. Your schools, like Adele School, are going to close. So, ratepayers. Ratepayers who are stayers. That's my slogan. So how do you do that? Well, I would like, in my 4 years, I'm just one person, but what would I like to achieve in 4 years? 20 extra ratepayers in Fidel, 20 extra one in Morgan, Blanchetown, Truro. Mount Mary's not too sure about. But they're currently the towns that make up the air ward. There's also a new project there with the 176 people work camp coming in for the interconnector and later on the two solar farms. That's a huge investment. It's a $10 million investment, $1 million of which is just the removal, utter removal of the camp in the end of 2 or 3 years. That's a lot of money they're going to put into sewerage and power upgrades and internet for those people, all to be removed at the end. I don't think that should happen that way, so I'm going to try and work out a strategy for keeping 50 to 100 of those accommodation units and maybe work with some partners like SA Housing, those sorts of people, to say, look, we need accommodation. Every place in the Riverland is less than 1% rental vacancy. It's very hard to rent anywhere. The Downer commercial manager said he himself would not rent a place in Renmark, and he would have been earning it well enough money to do that. So that's what I'd like to do. I want to work on those strategies that get more people to stay, to become ratepayers, to buy a block of land from the council. Hopefully the council gets some money out of that, brings down our debt, get more councillors paying rates. And that helps schools, clubs, all sorts of other places. How you resource that, you might want to move some employees away from tourism types of associated activities so that you don't employ more people, but you can just guide them to a different work location. Because there's plenty of work to do in trying to set this up. You would need staff. And you need to talk a lot, because these sorts of things, like just getting those 20 blocks of land and making that happen consistently, can go from Air Ward, down to Murray Ward, Shearer Ward, and hopefully in that 3 or 4 years, Air Ward would have a strategy that was duplicable. You could keep doing it for any small town. But I'd also want to talk to Downer and say, can you give us, or rent us, 50 or 100 of these little outcrop huts? So those are the sorts of pie-in-the-sky dreams that I want to have. I don't want my town to grow too much. If it has a red light or traffic lights, I don't want not too many people, because if I wanted lots of people, I'd still be in Adelaide. There are other things I do. I tend to go off and charge ahead and people carry on the paperwork behind me. There is a little thing, I organise a little Zoom presentation with Food Bank, trying to get them to talk to us in Morgan to diminish the distance, which is what I'm all about with Meals on Wheels and Red Cross and all those things. Trying to diminish the distance between our services and our towns. I would like to put some Wi-Fi in the Morgan Activity Centre, some charging points outside like Wakefield Library has. That's a little smaller project, that's $10,000, and if that doesn't happen, that's okay, but I would like more ratepayers to stay. Done. Thank you.
Now, any questions for Jacob, please? You've done a good job. Thank you.
You're always free to email me. I will write you lengthy responses.
Thank you very much. We now have the candidates for Murray Ward. Christine Sims is a late apology as she is ill. Rosalind Schultz is also on apology. And Kitty Shiansky has had a death in the family, so she's asked Kirsty McGregor to read her presentation for her. Therefore, in Murray Ward, we have in order of presentation Jeff Barber, Jane Barnes, Jim Moss, and Kirsty on behalf of Kitty. So if Jeff would like to come and do his. Thank you.
How are you going, everyone? Firstly, I'd like to say good luck to all the other candidates in this year's election. It's good to see a lot of interest as far as candidates in the Murray Ward. A bit about myself. I'm 52 years old. I've been married to my wife, Sarah, for 20 years. And we've got two adult children, Craig and Chelsea. We've been permanent residents at a young husband for over 9 years now, but I've been in the district most of my life as my parents bought a property in Cornermont in the 70s. I don't have any formal qualifications. In fact, I don't have much of a formal education at all. My father took me out of school just before I turned 15 so that he could use me to work on the family farm, so I actually only completed year 9 in high school. Throughout my adult years, I've worked in various roles and have always enjoyed working in team environments. My longest employment to date is with Mitsubishi Motors Australia Limited at the Tonsley Park plant, where I worked in the paint shop for almost 18 years. I was fortunate enough to work my way up to a supervisory role in the last 2 years before the factory closed in 2008. In 2013, after I'd spent more than 20 years living back in the city, Sarah and I decided to move up to the river, and it was one of the best decisions we've ever made. Our first employment when we moved up here was with a local family farm for 4 years before I started my current role as a ferry operator at Kurnong, which I've been doing now for 5.5 years. As I said earlier, I don't have any formal qualifications, but I do have a strong sense of community. I'm involved in a few local community groups. I'm chairperson of the Kurnong District Hall. I'm chairperson of the River Cove Progress Association. I'm on the committee of the Young Husband Hall, and I'm also on the committee of the Kurnong, Cornwall and Districts Progress Association. Regarding the Kurnong Hall, Sarah and I help organise and run the longest table dinner that we hold out there. This event raises money for the Hospital Research Foundation, which goes towards breast cancer and prostate cancer research as well as patient care. We've held this annual event for 8 years now, with this year's dinner raising over $6,500. Sarah and I also held a sausage sizzle at the OTR in 2018. That was for the Lions Australia Need for Feed campaign. This campaign raised money for the stock feed for farming communities that were suffering from the drought. We managed to turn $150 of our own money into $1,100 through that sausage sizzle, and that was thanks to the support of the local community. And then Madam Lyons very generously chaired the credit, matched our fundraising dollar for dollar. My family have also participated and attended the White Tie dinners held here in Manham. These events raise money to help those affected by domestic violence. You may have noticed I've got blue nail polish on, not something I normally do. But this is the second year that I've been involved in the Polish Man campaign. And that campaign is to raise awareness about violence against women and children. And the money raised is to help those affected by violence by giving them assistance required to escape their situation. It's a cause I'm very passionate about. So if you'd like to make a donation, you can see me after this. Because I've still got a few days to go. What can I offer you, the ratepayers, as a councillor if elected? I will continue to volunteer in the community wherever I can. I'm a genuine and honest person. I will attend all meetings and functions that my occupation will allow. I will keep in contact with local businesses and community groups to the best of my ability to listen to any concerns you may have. I will do my best to find a balance between the wants and needs of the council and the ratepayers. The council needs to find ways to save money, but it needs to be done without having a heavy impact on the services to the ratepayers. I will be able to look into this in more detail if and when I am elected. I'm a very community-orientated person, not just with local area, but also with the broader community. I strongly believe in supporting local business, not only with my personal purchases, but also with community groups. I'm certainly not a big fan of online shopping. I hope those of you in the Murray Ward will give me your vote and the opportunity to represent you and the whole district in council. It's an opportunity I will not take lightly. I see this as a way of doing more for my community. I look forward to being able to be a voice for local ratepayers. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Jeff. And now if Jane Barnes could come and do her presentation. Thank you.
That's the trouble with going second, isn't it? Always got to strive to become better. Good evening, everybody. Thank you for coming, giving up your night. And I agree, Jeff, like the quality of all of the candidates that are running for Murray Ward are really, really good quality people. So, you know, I think we were all pretty confident when we met a few weeks ago, and we've all met each other, which I think is important, because I think what is important to us is community, and communication is part of community. So, yeah, well done.
I need to introduce myself, obviously, to the ratepayers. My background is a little bit different to Jeff, so don't hold it against me, please. I want to provide an overview of my skill set, but I've rounded it around the LGA skill set, so hopefully, you know, that gives you some background for me. Leadership and guidance. I commenced my career as a registered nurse. I was also travelled during that experience to expand my knowledge, and I had a lot of fun exploring, as we do when we're younger, yeah? But obviously, there's back to reality and work, and whilst continuing to study, I completed a Bachelor of Business and then went on to complete a Master's, and I majored in Finance and OH&S. I achieved 5 Ducks Awards, so I am a high achiever. I do like to aim to be very good at what I do, and that happens with everything that I do, so hopefully that works in good stead. I went on to become a manager for a customer service team, so working completely out of the field. You know, nurses are very caring and can be very emotional, but I moved out of that path after studies. Some would say, suggest that I move backwards, but sometimes you need to do that to move forward. From there, I then was asked to become a salesperson. Like, for goodness gracious, you know, that's completely left of field. But I learned a lot from that, and a lot of that is about communication with people. And people, different people, are what makes the world go round. I say that to my kids, you know. That's what makes the world go round. And different people, not all the same. You can't have people with the same thoughts on everything. That's democracy. I went on there to become a branch manager for South Australia and Northern Territory for a global distribution company. That was an English-based company called Bunzel Outsourcing Services. We had a lot of categories within that business, and I ran all 5 categories within both states. There was a lot of goals there that we needed to reach, and we met them. When I started with the business, we were just outside the publicly listed company, obviously. We were just outside the top 100 of the FTSE, and when I resigned 2 years ago, we were just under 50th position in the top 50 of the FTSE. So we were high achievers. And we had shareholders to answer to. Shareholders are very much like ratepayers. They want value for money. And that's really important to all of us. I'm a ratepayer just like everybody else. Jeff, you know, all of you. So it's really important, I think, to all of us to be able to achieve. My background, obviously, was nursing, but when I branched on, I went into industrial packaging, hygiene and cleaning, accommodation, food service and catering. There was a healthcare portfolio as well. So it really did diversify my thought process. I had an amazing mentoring program that helped me through my journey, and leadership and guidance from both mentors, and then taking that mentoring program onto the juniors is key part for, you know, progression. Skill set 2, promoting and working relationships. This is a key element. You know, to be successful in anything, you need to be able to promote effective relationships, and you need to be able to communicate, and you need to be able to listen. And I think from what I'm hearing around the place when I'm talking to people and visiting Canberra, Sedan, you know, some of the places that we've been to, they want somebody to listen to them. And I think it's really important because people become disenchanted when they're not listened to. Integrity, an easy part of the position when you have a great team, and I was supported by a great team for 30 years, so I worked with Bunzel for 30 years. And it was easy for me because I had a group of people around me that had an average tenure of between 15 and 18 years. And they were all people of integrity. They made me look good. And I think the good thing about this community is we have some really good, strong support. And a lot of people and volunteers, Jeff, as well, that want to do a lot of good things. So I can see that being a real stronghold behind council. Skill set 4, support. Effective open communication leads to positive relationships. That was my slogan. It was the slogan in my business and my slogan, daily. So I think that open communication allows us to move forward. And not always thinking that you're right. I know that my hubby Wayne would say that's not entirely true, but, you know, you've got to be able to listen to other people. Developing skills, skill set 5, key component for me during my work life to ensure that both myself and my team continue to develop. It's really important to move with the times. You can't sit in yesteryear, and I think most of you realise that. It is nice, though, to still not forget, you know. We have an ageing demographic, both in this community and also Australia-wide. One of my portfolios, obviously, in my healthcare business was aged care. And it is really important not to let that go. Participate in council activities. Core activities actually underpin everything that council need to do and to make sure that you are engaged with your community. Simone, I love the idea that you had of making sure that you had these key focus groups, you know, every month with different areas. I think that's really important. I love that idea. And I don't mind stealing from other people. So, you know, I'm just putting it right out there. Skill set 7, effective objectives and policy. Obviously, working for a global corporate and a very, very, very tough CEO, we had to have very effective objectives and policy, and we needed to meet them. You know, we were closely managed. And so I think that's key to this role as well. As a ratepayer, I believe it is a key principle for council to end up in the red, you know. Our debt is very big for a small population. Skill set 8, ensure principles are reserved, a core value for all councillors, and I'm committed to this. So, you know, I think that everybody should live by principles. I think that most people do. Sometimes they vary, but it's good to talk about those. Participate in CEO performance. That's just a standard. Serve overall public interest goes with the turf and listening skills. My passion is people, as I said. So I think that that will just be the joy of the job. Obviously, better community consultation. Debt reduction is key for me. Sustainable waste management programs. I'm a little bit of a greenie. I've got to put that right out there. And supporting tourism, grant allowance. That not a lot of grant allowance is going to happen, obviously, with the debt that we have. But also, obviously, I can't leave my nursing behind. Health and wellbeing is definitely key on my agenda. So thank you for listening to me, guys.
Thank you, Jane. And now, sorry, if I can have Jim Moss come and do his presentation. Thank you.
Oh, it's Specsavers.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Jim Moss and a candidate for Murray Ward. I'm a resident and a ratepayer from Cambrai, where I've lived with my wife, Lynn, for 30 years. I'm a proven stayer because we've been married for 53 years. We have two adult children, one of whom is disabled, three grandchildren, three great-grandchildren. And I'm one of the few JPs in the Canberra area. I'm well known in the area and have a reputation for speaking my mind, a quick wit, and always willing to help others where I can. I regard myself always willing to listen and offer my personal advice, which some people don't for fear of getting it all wrong. I offer my advice and I state it as my personal advice. I have a certificate for in workplace training and assessment and training small groups, and several other qualifications, including industrial supervision, safety officer, and many other minor industrial certificates. I'm a logical thinker, and I'm a problem solver, and I believe that if you aim for the stars and you miss, you're still in orbit. I think the government spending is ludicrous due to tendering and not necessarily the cheapest. So it scares me that people start putting out for tender, which was commented on earlier. The reason that came up, I just jotted that note down while I was listening. My work history started as a newspaper money collector at the age of 12 until working as a roof tiler's labourer at the weekends. I started my full-time work history as an apprentice metal fabricator at the SAR Islington Workshops back in 1965. I worked there for 11 years and took up the challenge of working in the field outside of government employment. And it worked for me because I worked my way up through the metal industry and eventually became a production supervisor, a purchasing officer, and then I had a complete change of direction and I became a trainer for disabled people with a view to helping them to achieve full-time employment with some sort of success. And this was a position which I found extremely rewarding. As a father of a disabled person, I have a wealth of experience helping and educating disabled, and once again, hearing some of the comments tonight, I feel I have much to offer as a councillor in that area. I am currently on the council's Open Space Committee under the guidance of young Kevin over there. We had two members of the public, but due to the other public representative relocating, I'm now the only one. We instigated the Dyke Sky Initiative, playground at Manham, and various handicapped parking places. I'm a member of the Canberra Agricultural Museum, and I spent 12 years in the Canberra CFS, which I found extremely satisfying, and was at one stage delegated as the liaison between the Canberra CFS and the council's fire officer. I was one of a small group that successfully lobbied the state government to fix a 9 kilometre section of the Cainton to Angaston Road. This road was full of patches and undulations and was dangerous, very dangerous. I'm pleased to say that the road was fixed properly and not just repatched. So that was one successful story. For a number of years, I was the secretary of the Marne, North Rhine and Saunders Creek Catchment Group. And I was probably a little bit over-effusive in what I did because I sent the minutes out as a complete breakdown of the events of the meeting as opposed to a glossary. I created a large mailing list as I believed anyone who wanted a copy was entitled to have them sent. It was just not just for the group's members. I was somewhat outspoken with the government consultants as the goalposts were constantly being changed by them and we members were in a state of confusion to this. So I told them. That finished a long time ago, but I've just recently been approached by the Water Resources Department to join them to help them put things right. Yeah, my aims if elected. The road between Blanchetown and Murray Bridge, as we've all heard tonight, is deteriorating rapidly due to the heavy traffic which has been directed through that road by the government's desire to keep trucks off the southern freeway. This road is now full of potholes and is becoming increasingly more dangerous. On the drive down here tonight, I just about wore my steering out dodging them. As this road has been destroyed as a result of a government directive, I would like the council to apply pressure to the state government to rebuild the road as a heavy duty road and repair the damage accordingly. Now, my main thrust of what I wish to do, I'm extremely concerned about the lack of a police presence in our area. I've noticed the amount of crime is escalating with more and more places being broken into and people having their hard-earned goods stolen. The incidence of hoon driving has always been prevalent but has lately increased, and what many people describe as a peaceful country life is now being destroyed. On investigation, I found that the Manon Police Station is open 8:30 a.m. to 11:30 p.m. every day. That was from Mr. Google today. However, Blanchetown is 2 hours a day, 1 hour in the morning, 1 hour in the afternoon, Monday to Friday only. Same applies to Morgan. Once again, this is from Mr. Google. Mount Pleasant, 9 a.m. to 12 noon, Monday to Friday. Swan Reach, hours vary. Wakeree, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., Monday to Friday. It is a common occurrence that if the police are required, you may have to wait an hour or more for someone to come from Murray Bridge or Berry to Cambrai in most cases. In many cases, the impression is it's not worthwhile them coming out. My hope is that as a member of council, it would be possible to instigate a more permanent police presence within the area, or failing that, maybe the creation of a special constable with the powers necessary to act on our behalf. Once again, I realise that this is a government authority, but we all pay our taxes and are entitled to some protection from the undesirables we have in our midst. I also believe that the rubbish tips should be open more and not less. I've already noticed some areas of roadside dumping and cannot understand the reasoning of lessening the dump hours, then paying for a crew to go and pick up these piles of rubbish on the roadsides. I'm no accountant, but I can see that to pay one person 2 hours' wages is cheaper than to pay a crew to pick up rubbish. So to summarise, I understand we have to encourage tourism, but must not forget the areas where tourism is not a byword. And as a councillor, it is imperative to look after all ratepayers. As a ratepayer myself, I'm very concerned about the rises, especially with the economic climate being as it is at this current time. There's people out there struggling. The last thing they need is higher rates. I would endeavour to minimise any rate increases and extra unnecessary expenditure. As a result of this, we would all benefit. I also feel that many of the smaller communities are being left out or forgotten when it comes to council spending on improvements. Such minor things like roofed areas in the overnight parks or some of the picnic areas would be good. And being centrally based in Cambrai, I would be able to provide some parity across the whole electorate. My main focus is that we're all in this together. And just to finish off, if I'm unsuccessful, I would like to think that the successful candidate could use some of these ideas to further the ratepayers' ideals. I live in the real world and I'm horrified with some of the tendering processes and ask the question, would it not be cheaper for the council to employ a builder? So I'll finish up wishing everyone good luck for the upcoming elections and thank you all for your time.
Thank you, Jim. And now I'd like Kirsty to come forward to read just a statement from Kitty Shiansky, who is unable to be here.
Thank you, everyone. So, for those that don't know me, I'm Kirsty McGregor. I'm one of the returning elected members for Shield Ward. So, this is on behalf of Kitty Shiansky. Unfortunately, Kitty's unable to be here in person as her father passed away last week and it's his funeral today. She trusts that you understand her emotional state and inability to speak tonight and has asked her speech to be read in her absence.
My name is Kitty Shayansky and I was raised in Manning. I feel that this is my hometown, although I now live in Black Hill. We meet in this building, a building that I remember being called the Manning Community Complex, developed by the community, with most of the funds being raised by community. My family helped build this building. My sister helped lay the bricks. My parents helped organise and fundraise the money to build and fit out the building. And my sisters and I waited on tables at many fundraising functions and dinners. Swimming in the river, building forts in the scrub, and roller skating at the complex were my youth. I came from a family that takes community service seriously, and as a parent, I continue that service in my own way. I enjoy writing, and so I took on the role of secretary of many varied groups, sports, education, environment, and among others, the last being the Old Manham School Committee, which was dedicated to saving the Old Manham Primary School site as a large central community hub. My vision for the area included green space, community food and centred gardens, public orchards, an amphitheatre, public performance space, walking tracks, skate park, BMX track and recycling repair repurposed facility, with public art and plenty of seating providing a safe inviting place for mingling with all generations. Unfortunately, most of the area is now housing and asphalt, and I see this as an opportunity lost, an example of council that did not listen to the community. As a young woman, Manning didn't offer much inspiration, so I left and returned several years later with my young daughter. After a few more uninspiring years in Manning, we left again to live in Second Valley on the Fleurieu Peninsula, where I was heavily involved in my daughter's school and as a homeowner joined the local ratepayers association and became the secretary. From that position, I secured a spearfishing ban in the bay, two bus stops and engaged council on many other issues. The Yankalilla region was where we met many wonderful people who were trying to protect the natural environment and engaging in creative arts. Encroaching urban sprawl and unmanaged tourism was having a negative impact on local communities and the nature that inspired people to visit and live there. It's where my activism really started and I became a founding member of the secretary of the Yankalilla District Environment Group. We were involved in lobbying and letter writing. We adopted a local national park and we worked to make it weed free. We held workshops with guest speakers, attended conferences about community, social and urban development. We built the respect of community and the local council. I had a particular interest in recycling and lobbied the council to establish a recycling committee that blossomed into an effective regional waste management strategy with two neighbouring councils based on a cooperative approach of resource and knowledge sharing. That's when I experienced local government as an important and effective way of implementing deep change and I wanted to be part of it. With a focus on environmental protection and passion for social change, I ran for council twice and was successful on my second attempt after drawing attention to the inaction of the sitting council. I was elected from the position of a disgruntled ratepayer with big dreams. I was 31 years old and working at Warino Convention Centre at the time. I was the sole representative for the largest ward in the council district that went from one side of the Fleurieu to the other. Under my remit were farmland, state park, council reserve, caravan parks, tourism and business operation and shacks, much like Murray Ward I am standing for now. While on council, I was highly active and served in a range of committees, including Tilbrook, Dreaming Forum, Youth House, Historical Museum, Recycling Steering Committee and Fleurieu Regional Tourism Association. My approach was to bring people together affected by particular issues, meet with individuals and groups and listen to their thoughts and strategies to address the concerns and needs of the community, consult and collaborate. I made myself available and approachable and focused on achievable outcomes and often unconventional ways of dealing with the problems. I engaged a diverse group of participants to help solve community problems, and that was 30 years ago. The council is now progressive and having a thriving civic leadership. By now you're probably thinking, what does all this have to do with us here in Mid-Murray? I reflect on this region and it looks like the Fleurieu did 30 years ago. Unfortunately for many people, Manham and its surrounds are still uninspiring. People tell me that all the focus is on tourists and everything is dependent on that. In the more remote areas of the district, hoons are entrenched with trail bikes making tracks on roadsides. Some drive around with guns shooting at animals and signs with their cars. Dirt roads as often seen as rally tracks, hoons on the river causing riverbank collapse and making passive enjoyment of the riverine environment for others and wildlife virtually impossible. Trespass, vandalism and theft in quiet country areas are commonplace. Police are rarely there when you need them, and I've been informed that there's been no police station at Swanreach for months. Roadkill and road damage is alarming due to freight routes with B-doubles and road trains. Roadsides and reserves are being stripped of habitat, of timber for firewood, which sells in the city for up to $550 per tonne, I've been told. Fires are started in the middle of winter by campers who haven't extinguished their campfires properly. The Marne River now has a brand new $65,000 swing bridge over the river that doesn't flow, thanks to the over-allocation of water and well over a decade of drought. We have a new shopping centre in Manham that is unbearable urban heat island in summer because the council didn't want to want trees taking up the space of tourist vans and boat trailers. Unfortunately, the good intentions of the Teddy Bear Corner has deteriorated and become a faded teddy ghost town of microplastics. Things are pretty ordinary out here, no matter how you promote the picture of river, country lifestyle living. In the mid-90s, I was drawn back to Manham with the intention of getting work on riverboats, and I got my shipboard safety certificate to help operate the PS Marion. I had by then established my own video production business with the slogan, anything but weddings and porn. I sought and got work in the fields of education, environment and arts. Technology brought my documentary making dreams undone when my equipment was superseded by the digital age. I did, however, get the opportunity to document a catamaran voyage from Lake Alexandrina down to the Coorong with a group of disadvantaged youth and a couple of teachers. From this, I found employment at Manham Primary School, High and then Community College, working with the young people with special needs, which led to work in the front office where the schools were amalgamating. A few years later, I was mentoring vulnerable youth under the guardianship of the minister. Several years of working with these traumatised teens led me to semi-retirement at Black Hill, where I met my lovely partner, Tony, and focused on nature conservation. Moving to the rural community has had its challenges, but it's inspired me to participate in local government again. I'm an optimist. I can't complain. I must be the change. My vision is to build happy, healthy communities and cherish the natural environment and wildlife it supports. If we can do these things, we will be a destination that people will want to visit and people will want to live. We need tourists to respect the areas and the towns they visit and understand they are just guests in our home. The Mid-Murray is more than someone else's playground or a place to exploit. Mid-Murray has an extremely low socio-economic demographic and a huge debt, approximately $17 million. The challenge is to engage and support all members of our community, and we need to review what we value. We are up against it, but with some critical thinking, open minds and hearts, I believe we can create something really special. Thank you for your time tonight. I spoke on behalf of Kitty.
Thanks, Kirsty. And now, if Jeff, Jane and Jim would like to answer any questions that the audience might like to ask them regarding Murray Ward, I'm sure they'd be happy to do so.
No, I don't need that.
Not a question, it's just an answer for Jim. And I think Kitty raised it too. Blanchetown does have a permanent policeman. He's been there for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Morgan has been without one for 18 months. Swanreach has been without one for 12 months. They almost got one about 2 months ago. But Swanreach area school is set up for like kids in wheelchairs. But this family that wanted to move there and be the police officer had autistic children, and the school could not handle, but I've never had the pictures for him. So the young Tim that actually works at Blanchetown does the three towns right down to Truro, and everybody goes, why Truro? And the fact is that the Murrayooka police won't drive 10 k's up the road to attend anything because of the council boundaries are the police boundaries.
Mm. Most of the information I've got was on Mr. Google this morning.
Yeah,
so,
there is a permanent man there.
Thank you.
Thank you. So on that basis, we'll now move to Shear Award. And we've got four people who are automatically elected onto our council in their position. So there's Kelly Gilligo, Victoria Hammond, Kirsty McGregor and Mandy Toxic McPhee. Now, Kelly, you're first on the list if you'd like to just come and do a presentation.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for coming. I'd just like to also thank the Men in Progress for holding this event tonight. I think it's a fantastic opportunity that people can address the community as well, and you can actually ask questions and see more about these candidates, more than just what they write in a little paragraph spiel. So it's good to get their personality, their background, because we are only limited to a little spiel on those candidate elections, so it's great. So thank you very much, Men in Progress. My name's Kelly Gladigo. I'm a local here. I live in Kowloon, just across, we call it the island, just across the ferry. I'm married, have five children. My husband is a fourth generation farmer. I'm a registered nurse. Heavily involved in the community, in sporting and different community groups is my background. My background is obviously health and wellbeing. That is my passion, being a registered nurse for nearly 18 years. I can see we all have things in common. Currently, I am a clinical manager for a national domestic violence, which is your, what you're interested into, domestic violence, sexual assault and child abuse national hotline that I work for. And I also run as a director for my own health business where I do NDIS, disability and aged care in this region, because it's something that we lack. We don't have enough services. That's a whole other discussion. So I work in part with Mid-Murray Support Services as well, where I go to the community, offer services as a registered nurse, also disability, like I said, and also palliative care, so people have that choice to have palliation in their own home. So I'm very privileged to be able to offer that service. So that's my passion, that's my expertise. Farming, I guess, that's my husband's expertise. I'm just a labourer, free labourer, I guess, but... it's a big issue that we have and something that I am passionate in as well. We grow potatoes, we have crop and we have animals and we grow capers. So a bit of a he's a very talented man. Hopefully he's not listening because I wouldn't say I said that in public. No, but he's very supportive, which is good and it lets me get around and do what I need to do. Why I ran as a councillor, we're very lucky that we were pre-elected, so congratulations to my fellow contenders as well. But is I love to be an advocate. Now this comes from a personal experience that I had with council, being a ratepayer back in 2011. My family unfortunately were embedded in a legal issue which mounted up to nearly $1 million in debt for ourselves from council not following their own policies and procedures. They gave development application right to demolish something that wasn't theirs, that we owned, which cost us a massive legal battle. So from there started my advocacy. I needed answers from council, couldn't get it. You know, pulling teeth to get help to find out their policies, their procedures, how they did things. The only person that helped me at the time was the Honourable MP Brokenshire, which gave me all the information and backing that I needed. So from then I learned to be an advocate for people because I did not want people to go through what we went through, my family, we're still going through financially for, you know, council's lack. So that's where my advocacy came from. Ran against Adrian Pedrick in 2018 state election, same sort of thing, advocacy for people that need help, don't get answers, you know, they don't fall in the popular group or, you know, just people not willing to help. So I guess that's where my passion comes from. That's why I then wanted to run for council as well, because council needs to be transparent. I see it as it's not what I want, it's not what I like, what I want to achieve, what I want to build. I work for you. You tell me what you want, I'll take the council to cut their task. If I don't know the answer, I'll find out and I'll get back to you. I'm very black and white. What you see is what you get with me. No bullshit. So that's what the sort of councillor I'm going to be. But advocacy, I believe that the council need to work with the community, not against the community. We can all work together, achieve things, save money in the process, get these services. Raised it about the Opal, different services. We can work together because there's other services that are providing the same thing. We don't need to compete. We need to collaborate and build a great community. So I won't keep you all here. I'm pretty sure your minds are all boggling with meeting so many people. And I just want to congratulate you again. And well done for everyone else standing and put your hand up. It takes a lot of guts to, you know, say, I'll give it a go. So well done. Thank you. Thank you, Kelly. And now Victoria. Hello. I'll try to keep it brief as well because I feel like it's getting on. I'm Victoria Hammond. A bit about me. I'm a permacultural consultant and landscape designer. I grew up in Glenelg, down there by the beach with my parents who still live there 40 years later. I moved away, as a lot of young kids do, I guess, to study a bachelor's film and television degree at Swinburne University in Prahran. And at that time, FA didn't have any film degrees or anything like that that I could pursue here. So at 17, I found myself moving to a big city, bright lights and learning a whole new world. I've been back to SA many times in that time. It's always been my home. I have lots of beautiful memories of here in Manham, on the river, water skiing when I was a kid and going on houseboat holidays, and quite a lot of them were very memorable. I moved back here at the start of 2019 mainly because my father has Parkinson's and I had to come home to be the daughter that's the creative one. I'm unmarried, no children, and, you know, just a single girl that thought I could raise greyhounds and come back and be a support person for them. My mum is caring for my dad. She's a retired nurse and she cares for him full-time at home. And so basically my job was to come home, to be closer. But I was a country kid and I'd been living in Dja Dja Rung country in Castlemaine for 20 years, been growing and raising rare chickens and being completely sustainable and permaculture designing gardens, and just didn't want to go back to the city lifestyle anymore. It just wasn't where I fitted in anymore. And I fell in love with this river a long time ago, but what brought me back here really was the people, the laid-back, beautiful culture, and also my love for that river and the importance it is for our whole state and the whole country, and how our ecology here is so special and needs protection. And so I love the environment, I love planting and talking natives, I love talking about food security, and I think with COVID we all really experienced how important it is to be resilient within our own communities and how we can support each other of what we grow. And I grow a lot of food and I share it with my neighbours, I share it with all of Pondy really. If you want pumpkins, come see me. I've still got pumpkins going from last year because I am a producer on a small scale, but just to give and to share, not in a way of necessarily farming, but just to create the education and ideas around how we can be resilient together. I decided to run for council because last year I was involved in helping saving a tree at the showgrounds that they were going to tear down. And I was kind of wanting to be able to find ways to connect with my community more and to be able to do things where I can engage with people, because I do feel like I'm maybe a little bit younger than the demographic. I don't have any children at the school. And I spent a lot of time just walking around in nature and talking to people about plants. And I'm very busy consulting all through the Adelaide Hills and back and forth caring for my dad with Parkinson's in Adelaide as well. So I really wanted ways to form stronger connections because my roots are here. I bought a beautiful stone home on the cliffs and I intend to stay for the rest of my life. I've planted peach trees in the ground that have been in pots for many years, in that idea that I'm putting in my roots and laying down connection. And under that tree in September last year, I was able to meet some lovely people that were equally passionate about our conservation and saving our historical Indigenous sites, and also persevering out with our history. And I think this tree was a Coolamon scar tree, and I could see from witnessing how it had been formed from a young age to create a basal V that it had been modified within its inception as a young sapling. These are things I know from the Dja Dja Rung community. I was very grateful to be connected with in Castlemaine. It taught me a lot about Indigenous cultural practices. And I think in some regards, maybe that was overshadowed here in regards to this one tree, of just maybe a lack of knowledge in regards to those kind of things.
So from that experience of being able to help one tree and meeting a lot of people come together in support of our conservation, I realised there is a lack there of people being able to have voices for the trees. So I'm speaking for community. I want to just be here for everybody. I feel like we are only the voices of the people of our community. I have a loud voice. I love to talk. I love to chit-chat. I love to get to know people in community. I've been out there the last few months really meeting some wonderful people in our very varied region, and it is vast. The Mallee to the river, it's a large electorate, and I feel like we've got lots of different people within that, and I want to speak for inclusivity for everybody, and so we all have a voice in the future of this community. Obviously, we're going to be up against it. There's a bit of financial woe there, and there's been some debts that I'd like to see turned around. I'm a big believer in sustainable initiatives. I want to see better sustainable initiatives on council to be able to actually tie the line and, you know, reduce our spending. Let me look at my notes. I did write a few down. Obviously, one thing we've all been talking about today and this last few months has been our roads and our dirt roads and how they've been graded and maybe that needs to be readdressed and how we look at our country roads for our elderly drivers on them. I feel like since this heavy rainfall, we're obviously a lot more potholes, but they were there. They've been there. And I feel like in the 5 years I have lived in my little sunny side of Pondy, I haven't seen too much grading happening on my main roads, and I do know that people do treat them like a dirt track, and we are finding them getting worse and worse. So I feel like that is something I definitely want to be at the forefront. I want to have better green waste initiatives happening here within our recycling and the treatment of our waste. I want to see composting happening within council, and I want to see us being able to utilise that green waste for our community and for our council spaces. And I believe those kind of initiatives that are happening in the town councils, just because we're in the country doesn't mean we have to be living in the dark ages when it comes to those kind of things. I think we're paying a lot of rates, and they're very high, and a lot of people coming back saying, what am I getting for that? What services am I getting for that when my road's got potholes? What services am I getting for that when I feel like, you know, I'm just not being heard from, I've called council and I'm not hearing back? I think that's unacceptable. We are here to help. We're here to listen. We're here to do exactly what you want us to do. I'm here just to stand up for you. I haven't been here my whole life. I'm only newly falling in love with this place every day. Every road I go down that's new, I'm in awe at how gorgeous this place is. We are living in a beautiful place, and we've got to protect it, preserve it, respect it. We've got to respect each other. We've got to care for each other. And on council, we've got to be accountable. We've got to really be honest. And we've got to, you know, work with integrity and respect for each other. And they're really important things to me, and that's why I decided to run, because I want to actually create change and the place that our future generations will be proud to live here. We are an ageing demographic, but we want young families. We want children who want to stay. We want them to go to university and come back here to make their roots here like I am. And I think that is possible if we work together. And I want to thank you all for coming out today, and I'm going to be hanging around. You want to have a chat afterwards, and, you know, I'm always here. I've got my card. I'm always going to be able to answer any questions, and if I don't know the answer, I'll find out for you. I'm learning as I go, but I feel like there's going to be a really supportive group of beautiful humans that are going to really passionately care for the Mid-Murray going forward. I think we're in a good place with that. So I want to congratulate all the people that have gotten elected, and I wish you all well, those that are campaigning, and I look forward to the next 4 years being able to actually turn the debt around, create positive change, create positive feelings amongst our people for our council. I don't want to have people saying such negative things about our council, like, you know, that we're not going to be there for you. We are only as strong as you. So that's what I want to be, and that's why I'm here. Thank you.
Thank you, Victoria. Now, Kirsty. Thank you. It's going to be really short and sweet. Thank you everyone for coming this evening and taking your valuable time to listen to everybody. Thank you to all the candidates who've put their hands forward and or up and sort of stepping forward. Really great lot of people that people do have a choice and a really good choice, whoever sort of gets the goon, be as such. For me, I am one of your returning elected members. At the moment, I am the only returning elected member from the previous or this current Sydney Council. That's scary, that's daunting, but here I am and you've got me. Nevertheless, I'm always available to take your calls and listen to the concerns of the community. And I'm really hoping that with this new term of council, with a lot of changes that are put in, behavioural standards, with the training that is sort of on offer, and a whole lot of things, and particularly around the community and community consultation and what that means from a community perspective, not how council wants to talk to the community, but how community wants council to talk to them in a whole way. And maybe that will be different across our whole council area because we are so huge and each area is unique and we can't just treat everybody as the same. And we're not all in that sort of box. So it's a challenge. Our debt is a challenge. I'm not a huge, big financial knowledge person, but I know that we've got some really great people that we can sort of call on, and that mentoring role and the learning and understanding. So I've got skills in other areas, and so it's sort of learning that sort of with everybody else. But just thank you everyone for coming tonight, and yeah, vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. And now, Mandy, if you could take your turn. Thank you. Thanks for hanging in there, folks. So I want to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land on which we meet today and pay my respects to the elders, past, present and emerging, and I extend that respect to any First Nations people here today. Elected unopposed feels like a challenge in itself. As you won't have the option to vote for me, I'm keen to have you know me, to know what I have to offer as a councillor, and to understand my values. I know what I don't know adds up to a whole lot more than what I do know. However, I have learned sometimes the hard way that respect is earned and that success is built on trust and teamwork. Luckily, I like working with other people, sharing skills, and knowing that everyone brings a unique contribution. Councillors as a team are expected to work cooperatively with the CEO and his staff. We're also responsible to you, our community, and to each other to do the best job we can. I worked as a speech therapist in the community for nearly 30 years, becoming a specialist in the rehab of people after brain injury through accidents, road crashes or stroke. When I started as a student in England in the hospital clinic, we were issued white coats and a stethoscope. As if we were doctors. We were told not to wear nail varnish at work and to maintain a professional distance from our patients. I wasn't comfortable with this, but didn't know how to change it until I came to Australia 2 years later. The first person who helped me change was another speech therapist who worked at the Crippled Children's, fortunately now called Novita Children's Services. I visited their department and found Kathy sitting cross-legged on the floor with a child with cerebral palsy next to her, playing with a balloon. She didn't have a white coat or a stethoscope. She wore a bright, multicoloured jumpsuit with huge, dangly earrings. The kids loved her, and many became independent in communication with her support. The second person was a little boy, Daniel, who came to my clinic with his mum. Daniel had delayed development. At 5 years old, he struggled to speak and to understand what was said to him. It was hard for him to concentrate. When I tried to get to know him to get his attention, he tried to run away. His poor mum watched this for a few minutes, then suddenly leaned across the little table covered in toys, slapped Daniel across the face hard, and burst into tears. That day, I went to my boss, Jackie, and said I wanted to see Daniel in his and his mum's safe environment, which was their home. Jackie said yes, and mum said yes. I took off my white coat for the last time, and that started my working life out in the community, in homes, schools, nursing homes, and workplaces. I went wherever the client felt most comfortable and empowered. Both Daniel and his mum blossomed in their safe place, and I thank them for teaching me how to be the best speech therapist I could be.
Along the way, I've had my own speech therapy business. I've worked in community rehab teams, learning from colleagues with other skills. But I learnt the most about how to be effective, accountable and caring as a person from my clients and their families. I always wanted to do better and keep up to date, so I did a master's degree in health research while working in England. Back in Adelaide in 2008, I got a job as manager of community services in a not-for-profit company called Carer Support, which some people here might have used. We were funded 80% by the federal government and 20% by the state government. And we provided respite, group support and short breaks for family members caring for a loved one at home. We had 7,000 family carers on our books, a budget of 7 million and a brilliant dedicated staff group. Every respite dollar we spent was at the request of a family carer. Our clients decided what would work for them and their families. Our workers and our carers taught me to be the best leader that I could be. We ended up also being an NDIS provider with all profits going back into services for family carers. I wanted to be a good money manager and make our dollars go as far as they could, so I did a master's degree in business admin while working at Care Support. I learned there how to be accountable for millions of dollars in public money and use it efficiently. That was my last job. I retired in 2019. I'm so lucky to have a great husband, Lee, and two sons, Josh and Ben, who are supporting me through this and all I do. I spend my time writing. I write poems and I'm writing a family history. I love gardening, photography and protecting the environment. I care about the well-being of people. So that's me. Some of you know that I'm involved in the community already. I'm on the Manham Show. I run a share waste recycling program from home with neighbours and some of the cafes in town. I do an open mic session at Pickle Me Grandma for people who are poets and writers on a Sunday afternoon. I'm organising the Santa Trail, which a lot of you already signed up for. Thank you. And my latest idea is the idea of having a Illuminations on the River kind of festival, maybe next year. We'll see. So, I can't wait for the 12th of November so I know who's going to be on council with me. With me and Kirsty and Victoria Jane and Kelly. I wish the candidates contesting for Eyre Ward, Murray Ward and the position of Mayor the very best in their campaigns. And I hope that I will help bring the debt down, bring more housing, bring more industry and protect the environment that we all love. Thank you.
Mandy, now, does anyone from Shira Ward have questions for the four people who have just spoken? Thank you.
Hi, I'm Natalie. I'm from a place called Fredo. And when I'm at the council, nobody's actually known where Fredo is. I've actually got a question. There is my gospel. That's better. Based on the fact that the candidates for Shira have been elected unopposed, I just wanted to ask, can I ask all of the Shira Ward councillors views on supporting new businesses moving into the area? I'd actually like a response from each. Please.
Thank you. I'll go first. Obviously, I think new businesses are probably one of the most important things you want to encourage within Mid-Murray. Obviously, new business brings new families, new opportunities. As we've seen, we've had a bit of a changing of the guards on the main street recently. Nourish, the great new Whole Foods store that I always dreamed would one day come to Manham, arrived and they've been experiencing some great success. This week as well, having the new Opal Gem, Murray Gems, opening up on the main drag as well, I think is really great. I think, obviously, new businesses, new opportunities create new ratepayers, like we're saying, we want to get more people living in our region. We want to encourage, you know, sustainability within our community. And I think, yeah, all I'm all for the new businesses.
Yeah. I'm really for new business in town because I think people need to experience new opportunities and sort of whatever the businesses are. We do have a tendency sometimes to not support the businesses that are around, and we've had businesses open and some really great businesses that have sort of closed because of lack of support and other sorts of things. So I'm a really big believer in that whatever business is there, get out there and promote it, and that we as a community, and me as a, we need to support it and use it. Because if you don't use it, you lose it. And so that's some support that's a really, really sort of a vital sort of thing. So, yeah, new business, really great opportunities, and particularly sort of business opportunities maybe we haven't sort of thought of, but that sort of come along. So, yeah, what support is that?
I'm definitely very supportive of new business, new ideas, new ventures. It brings a lot of opportunity, growth, employment to the region and people to the region. I think anyone that probably doesn't support it shouldn't be on council or be a councillor. And I do believe that council needs to support community and their businesses more than what we currently do.
I must say more of the same. yeah, I mean, I think it's a bit of a no-brainer that if we can bring businesses in, then we bring money in, and we bring more people in, and that makes more ratepayers, and just have more money flowing around. And it's also more things for visitors to do who also bring money. But yeah, it's got to be businesses, small or large, that actually really benefit the whole community. So, you know, one of the issues we've had is all the cafes that come and go, even in just the 2 years since I've been here. And that's simply because, you know, things like cafes are very seasonal, and it's about having a balance of different businesses so that they'll all work. It's awful to see someone come and then go again, as you said.
So 3 years ago, we bought a property out of Trayville. Between my husband and myself, we actually own three businesses. Small businesses, but three businesses. Victoria, this one's for you. In your words, I have petitioned the local council to refuse your home mechanical engineering business plans. Would you like to explain that? Are you denying? I have it here.
Would you? Like to pass in my
credit? Pardon?
Would you like me to answer that?
Sure.
Sorry, maybe
Okay, well, I've never petitioned any council. I think the mayor will also be able to vouch for that now, but I've never petitioned council against any business. This woman here, I went to Brisbane with to help her out with her small business in cake making and decorating. She needed some help for us to come and help her in Brisbane on a situation that did end badly, where we were treated quite poorly by her. And I feel like since then there has been some attacks and some bullying and a bit of defamation within town that has happened. I don't want to have...
Excuse me, at this stage, I think we withdraw that. Yes. This is not to be a personal attack. And it may be, it's not an issue that is for the public at the moment. It should be in writing. If you will put it in writing, we will have it responded to and we'll respond back to you. Well, the problem with the people being elected unopposed is that not enough people bother to put their hand up to stand for council to give the public an option. It's the way the Act works. If you had such a passion about it, you had the opportunity to stand yourself. That's fine. I understand that, but there is no reason to attack someone because they've been elected unopposed and to subject them to questioning when they haven't yet been elected in a formal sense to council, because the voting is not closed and they haven't been confirmed officially. So it's very hard for them to be able to respond when this is outside of their duties as a councillor. Thank you. Thank you. Now, do we have any further questions from anyone within Shira Wood? Oh, well, yes, Jacob.
Are we going to have a group photo? It is the age of the selfie.
I suppose that could be. And assuming that everyone's quite satisfied with where we are at this point, we have a little bit of time left for the three mayoral candidates to take some further questions, because there were quite a few hands went up earlier that we weren't able to address. So if the three mayoral candidates would be happy to take further questions, we'll allow that to happen. So now, further questions? Excellent question. All councillors at the moment use their own personal phone and they get an allowance, so that I'm just happy to accept the same as all the other councillors do. And with the car, it depends on what the finance department say. I want to give it to them to work out what's best for ratepayers. At the moment, the mayoral car sits in the driveway when it's not being used, and other councillors are using their own car and upping their kilometres. They get an allowance if they want to use it. So at the moment, councillors do use their own car, and that's an insurance thing that we sort out with our insurance company, and I've been quite happy to do that. But my hope is that it becomes a pool car if that's best for councillors, so that we're trying to save on those allowances. And also staff have been using their own cars, which I think it's not, you know, not great for staff to have to use their own car in employed time, so I just want to use it more, basically.
So just comment on the mayor's car and the phone. I've owned my own handpiece for a long time and recently turned the SIM card to my own ownership, so I'll be on the same benefit as other councillors. I can claim the $25 a month that they're entitled to. As for the mayoral car, the mayor does cover a lot of miles, as you've heard. It's a great big district. And yes, it does sit in my driveway at times, but then there's other times where I get called out to do things. Like, only a few days ago, I was asked to go down to town. Now, I don't know how long you need to be able to book a pool car, make sure a pool car's available. There's times where I get a couple of hours' notice, can I go and meet an MP or a federal MP? I need to be able to jump in a car and go somewhere. We've just recently had a report to council that the mayor having a mayor's car, which was put in place a long time ago before my time as mayor, is about $4,000 a year. So that's not a big cost to the community, and it's not a burden to the organisation. We've talked about the debt a lot tonight. $18 million, yes, it's a huge number. It's a big number, and yes, I'm the first one that wants to see it reduced. That $18 million is still less than 1 year's income. If you put that into perspective in your working life, your business life, or your life of buying a house and raising children, I think the day you met, the debt level of income less than your debt was less than 1 year's income, you might have been pretty happy.
Thank you. Now, do we have any further questions? Yes.
To Simone, I'm just wondering how much weight you give to attending conferences and actually taking part in networking with the politicians. I know you said you're going to catch up with ratepayers once a month. I'm interested to see if you're thinking bigger picture, which is what a mayor needs to do, which is talk with the politicians, go and network, speak with the other mayors, etc. We've been to a couple of conferences and you haven't been around mingling, as you know, because you complimented me on doing that. I'm just wondering, moving forward as the mayor, will you be more into the meeting people, etc., the politicians, etc., to try and lobby for this district?
Excellent question again, and yes, I will be attending conferences as a mayor would do. I haven't had great mentoring, so I haven't been introduced to these sorts of events. But when I was in Canberra, I did a lot of great mentoring when I had the CEO with me. Of course, I've got, like I said, I don't know everything. I've got a lot of learning to do, and I'm really, really open to that learning. I have had lots of politician talks when I was at Aminia. I actually won a $3 million grant through the federal government, and so I worked with Tony Paston on that one. And I've also written Adrian Pedrick a lot of letters when I'm not happy with things in our area, like our transport and our water and our roads. So yes, definitely, learning is great for me.
Thank you. Now, any further questions? Yes.
This is to everyone. Just, if anyone's watched council meetings of late, you can see that not a lot of people want to be there. I just want to know, to any of the future mayors, what you're planning to do to improve the culture in the chamber at the moment.
I'll be the first one to admit, out of my 16 years, the last 4 years have been the worst. I've never been so disappointed in all my life that a group of people that are there to represent the ratepayers spend more time fighting, arguing, putting codes of conduct on each other. I'm just totally disgusted. And if I was to be your mayor, I'd be sitting down in the beginning, not necessarily in the chamber, but with all the elected members, and working out a system where they can all get on as friends and have a common goal, and that be the ratepayer.
Yeah, I agree. Teamwork is what I'm renowned for. It's culture, building good culture. And it's something that has been missing, and I really would like to build that again, because our communities really benefit from that culture. But also having professional meetings, stopping discussions when they go the wrong way, and having everyone feel comfortable around that table to have that say and know that they're not going to be bullied just by thinking different thoughts than everyone else, or for standing up for that one ratepayer that called them and asked them to ask that question around the table. So mine's about making everyone feel comfortable, but also, I mean, most of these candidates already know me because I've already reached out to them. I want to feel comfortable, I want them to feel comfortable. And like I said, when I go do my listening posts, I'm going to invite everyone, whoever's available, I'll pick them up on the way. I just think creating a team just is going to create great communities.
Great question. Culture starts within the whole group, not one or two people, and everybody needs to want to pull together, and it is a conversation. You can sometimes be robust around that table, and then you come to a decision. Once those decisions are formed, people walk away and accept that decision and not have their point of view over and above what the decision is made. That the council decision is a council decision, and that's what we all live with, whether we like it or not. We should be able to walk out that door and still be friends. I've always offered, I'm at the end of the phone, I'm always happy to go for a coffee. I'm not going to be around lobbying people, telling people how they should think or what they do. I want people to come into that room with an independent view, having studied their agenda, not got together in a coffee shop and decide this is what we're going to do at a council meeting. I want you to be, if I'm chosen, if I'm lucky enough, to be independent, strong enough, and come and have your say. I have not been in touch with a lot of people in the lead up to this. So I'll wait until, if I'm fortunate enough to be elected, then I'll be more than happy to touch base with all the other people elected. I'm not being presumptuous by going around and having those conversations. But culture does start within. Everybody needs to want to work and achieve for their community. That's where it all counts.
Thank you. And I think there was another gentleman that was waiting to ask a question. Thank you.
What plans have council got to manage the pending flood throughout the Mid-Murray Council area, and what public infrastructure will be affected? Sewerage, power, water, access and transport. That's one question, and I appreciate that the new candidates may not have any experience with flooding, with the exception of perhaps Kelly. The other one is the lacking of transport throughout the Mid-Murray Council area, particularly for the elderly people that need transport to and from medical appointments, and I think some agencies do service the area. Red Cross was promoted by council in the last couple of years to be a service available, but in all reality, the vehicle comes from a person from Strathalbyn to pick someone up here in Mountain, and they're limited to 5 hours driving for the day. So if you have an appointment in Adelaide between 10:30 and 2:30, Adelaide. That's an example where they promoted a servicing, it's in the magnet nearly every issue, as a service available, but it's got limitations. What are the council willing to do to help things like the hospital car be retained and kept and promoted? And things like other councils, Taylor and Bend, for example, have a medical service, a medical facility support system there, where they have a hire bus, comes from Kingston, I think, through Tindanara, Taylor Bend, Murray Bridge, Mount Barker, Adelaide. That's just one example of what they have, and volunteers that drive a car. So what is Mountain Council going to do to change what is existing here for us?
Can I do the distance one? The my past experience has been... My past experience
has been 3 years with the Red Cross under this new scheme from Morgan. 50,000 k's more, all for free, in the last 3 years. Yeah, it's not easy. I'm currently working with Mid-Murray Support Services, and one of the ways that the system's set up is they have to compete against each other. So if someone wants to work with me with Mid-Murray Support Services, and I take them to Perry or RAH for chemo or whatever, they have to give up being signed up with Red Cross.
Why?
I don't know. What I would like is a calendar with Rest Haven, Red Cross, Mid-Murray Support Services, and when the drivers are on available days, so that customers can see and choose. That's not the case. They have to, a Red Cross customer has to ring up Red Cross, cancel with them, come join Mid-Murray Support Services while I'm taken from Morgan. That's been happening because I quit Red Cross driving this year and started with Mid-Murray Support Services. It's not a system that works for the customer. I don't know why they've set a health service up as a competitive system like that. I think it's hugely disadvantageous. It also sets, so what happens is Red Cross gets, the customer has to ring Red Cross and say, I'm cancelling with you. And then Red Cross rings up my boss and says, Jacob's stealing customers, which happened. Those sorts of things go on. Horrible system. horrible system. But Mid-Murray support system is set up with a paid, I'm getting paid. With the Red Cross, I get 50,000 Ks for free. I don't think that's sustainable. Right? So I'm trying to set up a system, different system in Morgan to do that. So I don't know where you try and change the strategy. It might not be at council level. I don't. Maybe council could find out. Man, like it's not easy.
The thing about the rising river, I'll let the mayor take that because he should be up to date. We're supposed to be a meeting today about that. But just continuing on from Jacob there, in Morgan, we actually had a community car that was community funded. I was the chair of the Morgan Cadell Community Car Committee, which was a Section 41 committee of council. To my knowledge, that committee was never properly finished because the previous CEO never informed me as the chair that the committee would never finish. And then, lo and behold, the car was taken by council. And nobody ever told me where the car went. It actually went to the same place as the community-funded bus from Blanchard. That disappeared as well. And then we ended up with the Red Cross. Now, the Red Cross, the coordinator, I think my wife took over from you, didn't she, Jacob?
I know
she's the coordinator of it, and it is run very bizarrely, I can tell you. Like, my wife works for an undertaker, and she gets calls from Red Cross, can you take a day off work and drive so-and-so to Adelaide because we haven't got a driver. It is not very good. I would like to see whoever in the new council come up with a new system that works.
In answer to the car, Mike, there is no easy solution. I'd be happy to sit and work with the community on what options there are and what can be done and what other people are doing. That's about the best offer I can do. I'm probably a little bit reluctant into stepping into something that ends up a burden to council for a long time when there's no support from other levels of government. If other levels of government haven't gone in, now makes it easy to do, but or easier, not easy to do. But more than happy to have those discussions going forward. River infrastructure, that's going to be the mystery question going on. I think the forecast is now 135, predicting to maybe reach 150 at this point. The state government has just announced that they've set up a website that will be updated regularly for people to keep in touch with. It's the Department of Jews, so you'd have to go on their website, but I'm sure it'll be listed on our website at some point of time in the next day or two, so people can link to that to get the latest updates and keep in touch. We know that the state government have named it an emergency, so that means the support of the SES and the sandbagging stuff happening. So we're not having nine councils doing it individually. We do are now coordinated by the state with a coordinator, and there is an emergency management committee that I think our infrastructure guy sits on. You're questioned a lot about boat ramps and jetties, so those jetties have probably all been removed by now. Some roads have been closed and cut, and that will be an ongoing thing as the water comes up. And sewer systems will be cut to some of the shack areas, low-lying areas, so that'll be a major inconvenience. And it looks like dragging out over Christmas from what I can work out. But so it's going to be a long haul, and we just have to be alert and be aware and prepare for the worst and hope for the least.
Can I just ask all the new candidates that have won a position or are running for a position to take on board that they ask their ratepayers of their needs for things like transport?
Yeah.
because we're going through an ageing process. Our demographics are going through the roof with our age group, my age group, and the need is going to get worse.
Absolutely. Yes, just a moment.
In regards to the transport, it's not only the ageing people. I do know of one person who is quite ill and is having to go back and forth to Adelaide daily. She's only in her 40s, and transport for her, she can't get it through Mid-Murray because she's under 65. She's managed to get a couple of trips through the hospital car. The Red Cross one is usually always booked out, and her appointments can't be guaranteed what time. So if she finishes after a certain time in Adelaide, she's got to stay overnight in Adelaide. She's tried to get accommodation at the cancer place, but where they house them for a while. They told her she can only have 2 or 3 days at a time, because they keep that accommodation for people coming in from Broken Hill. So also, there are other people that fall into a black hole regarding transport. So it's not just the elderly, it's also some of the young ones as well.
From my experience with driving a hospital car, we're sadly lacking people who are willing to drive in Adelaide. And we badly need people to volunteer. It's a volunteer job. Very rewarding.
I agree, Mike. And the hospital provides a really good service, but we do need volunteers. And I did put a call out on Facebook, and I think we got one or two extra volunteers. So if anyone here has some spare time, go to the hospital and put your name down. But with regards to transport, we have 17 towns, and all of the 17 towns are struggling with this. So I would like to find a solution. I don't know that council can be really involved in that, because we have so much other things to do, but committing the community and helping the community get something started would be fabulous. With the flooding, we get an update every Friday. We have a great senior management team that keep us really up to date. So we got an email today that's telling us where we're up to now, and they ask us to disseminate the correct information. So we're really lucky to have such a good team giving us all the right information. So if you do ask your elected member, they might be up to date.
Just going back to the car we used to have, the community one in Morgan, council played a role in it that when they were going to trade a car in, very similar to the one we were using, the one they were going to trade in would go to Morgan, and then the Morgan car would go to wherever they were going to trade in, so that we always had a roadworthy vehicle. But all the trips to Adelaide in that car were all self-funded, never cost the council. So a system can be run. The administration was all done by the committee that I chaired. We had another person that used to raise money for the tyres. She had tins on the bar at all the pubs and the RSL and all that, and that money would actually put tyres on the car. So it can be done with a little bit of assistance from council.
Now, just regarding the transport, the council did have funding from DCSI, but then they decided to too hard basket and gave it back to the government, which then created the tender for Red Cross. So this is where you need to fact check and get your information. You as the running mayor would have had a process in that, which then cost the community, once again competing against another community service, which then could have got that tender and been provided this community with transport.
Any further comments or queries or questions? Yes?
I'm going to start with a positive if I can. reflect Simone's words there, and if current Mayor Dave Burgess can pass on, the council's been absolutely fantastic. The staff know for this, I'm not going to use the F word, the flooding, high fly, we probably can call it flooding now, but it's the feedback we've had back from council and the information has been absolutely fantastic. So please do take that back to your staff. It has been absolutely brilliant. We really cannot, I can't say thanks any more than what you've given us.
Thanks, Dave. We don't hear that much very often, so thank you.
I would like to ask each of the mayoral candidates, and I know it's not really your decision what happens, it is a whole council, but I really would like to know what your forward thoughts are on supporting like Destination Riverland and Murray Lakes and Coorong with the future funding to help promote tourism in the region.
We're very lucky to have those organisations because for our council to do the work that they do by ourselves would cost us a lot of money. So to be able to put some funding in to help them do the things we have to do it to keep that tourism going, to keep our towns going. We've seen and we've heard, I think, one of the candidates was saying, you know, once you lose that drive, that shop in the town, that's when your town closes down. So for that, you know, Destination Riverland or the Murraylands side for this side of town, to be able to do that within, I think it's $20,000 or something like that, I think that's a good investment for council.
My comments there, I do not know a lot about down here with the Murray Lakes and Coorong, but because I come from the northern area, I've had a lot to do with Destination Riverland. They've got a new manager now, and they've got a new chairperson, and both are go-getters, and they're going to kick some goals, I can tell you. And for the minor amount of money that Mid-Murray does put in up there, it is nothing near what the other three councils have to do. And from my experience, I actually sat on the board for a while up there, and we actually benefit from the other three councils, so it's all good for us.
Thanks for the question, David. Both significant organisation, and again, it's a great partnership between councils. I've sat on the board down this end as well, and goes back to the RDA days when we combined both organisations with the RDA to say we're going to team up as councils, promote the whole river group, even though there's two bodies, as a great tourism destination. I think we've shown a lot of growth in the last 5-10 years, and I think we'll continue to do that. I think coming out of the drought, everyone realised that tourism is a significant industry, very much needed to diversify from a farming community, irrigation community, and tourism was another way to grow. Our historic vessels tell our story up and down the river. It's been part of the story that's gained us funding for Herman's Landing, the professional mooring spot at Swan Reach now, and money invested in Morgan to make that a tourism town. And the boats, our volunteers in the boats are the ones that connect that thread. So we're very, very lucky.
Thank you. There's one last question the lady's been waiting to ask, and that'll be our final question, and we'll just wind things up then.
Thank you. Actually, it's not going to be too long. Just for your information, Kelly, and you haven't had training yet, so you'll learn that the mayor actually doesn't vote. So for these decisions, it's the chamber that votes. The mayor doesn't get a vote unless there's a tie. So just to clarify there, yeah, whichever one gets in, they're not going to get a vote unless there's a tie.
It's not to do with voting.
Thank you.
I'm talking about information, having knowledge. You don't need to vote to have the knowledge.
That's fine. Now, probably it doesn't hurt for everyone to have a little look at the Local Government Act and understand what the roles and functions of the council are. It is interesting from time to time that a lot of people expect council to do all sorts of things, which really isn't their main charter. Their main charter is to be representative, informed, and a responsible decision maker in the interests of the community.
They are there to develop the community and resources in a socially just and sustainable manner. Areas to do with tourism and investment are discretionary. They're not the core functions of council. And I think that everyone's been doing a very good job. And I rather think that it's important that everyone understands exactly what the functions and roles are. And I've made a mistake earlier this evening because I should have put in an apology for the CEO being Scales. I neglected to say it at the start of the evening. He tendered his apology as not being able to attend tonight. On behalf of Progress, we want to thank everyone who's attended, as well as all the candidates and the elected members. We trust it's been an enlightening experience for everyone here and appreciate the support from the community in coming to this event. We encourage you to consider all you've heard tonight and vote wisely. Your vote is very important, and drive home safely. Thank you.
Thank you.